Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Okay, there it is. Change is the name of the song. Deftones is who we're talking about. And White Pony is the name of the album. James Vincent McMorrow, you could have picked anything. In fact, it's brilliant the way you've done this because you really could. You were picking these out of the sky. Let's do this one.
Yeah.
So you better explain me to Deftones. Who are they? What are they? Why are they?
Deftones are a band from Sacramento, I think.
Somewhere California.
Yeah, California. Yeah. They were, basically, I picked it because I'm on a big nostalgia buzz at the moment, and this is like my childhood. I think this album came out in like 2000, and I was like full. The reason I picked it is because like I was a full metal kid, emo kid, and then I listened to a lot of rap, like because I was thinking about albums I could pick when you asked me there, and I thought I would also pick In Search Of by N.E.R.D., which is like Pharrell's solo project from like around the same era, but I think it speaks to the fact that I listen to a lot of different music, and this informed, this album was the one that made me realize that I could be a musician. That's why I pick it, because I listened to a lot of metal. I never wanted to be in a metal band. I just loved listening to it. When I heard this record, it was so melodic and so well recorded. This guy called Terry Date recorded it, and who recorded basically everything in that era. But it sounds incredible, whereas a lot of metal in the late 90s sounded pretty rubbish because it was all the changeover from tape to Pro Tools. So digital was a bit janky at the time. But this album sounds incredible. It was like a full emo masterpiece of a record. Change is like one of the best songs. It's one of the best songs ever written. I did it at a covers night we did for charity recently, and we sang it, and the crowd went insane because I think it has... You said before you're not familiar with it or the band, really,
but no.
It kind of has this life within like that sort of like metal and emo community where like...
Do you think in some ways though that it has what it has, which is the basis, as you call it, kind of metal from your youth, but it also goes in a completely different direction?
Well, it's genuinely a timeless record. I think like if you, after we speak, if you go and like Wikipedia or like Google it, you'll see that it is one of those records that came out at a time when people were like, new metal is trash, and that was my childhood, so I was obviously very defensive of it, whereas looking back now I wouldn't say it was bad, but I would say a lot of it definitely had its moment and dissipated, whereas I love this record because I listen to it now and it feels as potent to me as it does then.
Yeah, just to say, you say you want a bit of a nostalgia kick and you say it's timeless, so have you listened to it lately?
I listen to it all the time. It's an album that there's very few records from that era of the metal genre, like that style of music, that I would keep listening to, but like it is the one that like just holds up sonically, lyrically. It's incredibly emotional record. It deals with a lot of things that like me as a teenager really kind of like gravitated towards, and me as an adult still does. I still do, yeah.
And like, was there a before and after? This isn't the debut, is it?
No, it's the third album, I think. Yeah, you know. And they're still a super huge band. They've like, again, I think that's why I wanted to talk about it, is because albums that transcend generations, I think, in the same way that like I could equally talk about On the Beach by Neil Young, an album that I'm sure you're familiar with and that like had a huge impact on me.
I know, backwards. In fact, you know a sad thing, now you said something, I can beat you on that. Do you know what? There's a cover on the beach and he's looking out at the sea and the Corvette sticking out of the sand.
Yeah.
There's a newspaper there. I can tell you what the headline of the newspaper is.
Are you serious?
Senator Buckley calls on Nixon to resign.
Yes!
How sad is that?
No, that's beautiful. That's what I mean. Like those are the albums that like exist in this sort of like this timeless world for me. Like, so, but you know, because you were coming at it from like around the 2000s, you were not tapped into the new metal scene, nor should you have been.
No, not the new metal. In fact, if anything, like I might have known a bit of the new wave of British heavy metal, but that was in the late 70s.
Yeah.
Def Leppard. And
so it's all of it. But you know, Neil Young for me is removed from context as well. Like, you know, Neil Young when he began was basically like a, you know, like a, not a boy band guy, but he was like a super handsome pop singer for a lot of people, and now he's my most favorite songwriter of all time, pound for pound.
Right.
Same with bands like Deftones, where like they were seen as a certain thing, they defied that expectation and then went on to be these
brilliant. Okay, well, look, we're talking to James Vincent McMorrow, one of his favorite albums, not necessarily his only favorite album. The Deftones it is, or Deftones it is. White, what's it called?
White Pony.
White Pony, okay. Yeah. So I'm going to play another track from that. It's called Knife Party. There you go, Knife Party is what it's called. We're talking Deftones. Why Knife Party?
Because I just love the riff in this song. And it was one of those songs that as a kid, I wanted to write riffs. And it was just like perfect. It's so good and heavy. And I also love the fact that you have to play this on the radio in the middle of the day. It makes me very happy.
Fantastic. That's as good a reason as any to play it, all right. Yeah. Did you ever see Deftones live?
Yeah. Like yeah? A
any
lot.
Good?
Yeah. I saw
what's the lineup like? How many are there? What instruments? All the
guitar, two guitars, including the lead singer, Chino. And then drummer.
You say Chino like you know him now.
I've met him a couple of times. Whatever.
Me know, and Chino, yeah.
Cross paths. Well, like this is the thing. Like these are the people that I grew up obsessing over. And then because the nature of the work that I do, like folkier guitar stuff, tends to have a lot of overlap between like emo world and metal world.
Yeah.
Because like what I always loved about those metal records of my childhood is they always had a soft song on them. Like even you were talking about like sort of 70s stuff, like. Black Sabbath records had softer records on, like
always.
Songs on,
right? Always,
because it's just there is a connectivity between aggressive music and soft music in that way, and so like
sure, if I wasn't for the Incredible String Band, Led Zeppelin wouldn't exist. Discuss,
yeah, litigious. There's just a connection. So like, I was such a huge fan of someone like Chino, and then those people reach out to me at various stages to express that they are fans of mine, which always makes me quite...
Do you know, if I went into a record shop and they still had record shops and there's vinyl and that, what would it be filed under?
Metal, I guess, if you were being very... like. Yeah. I'm a bit more genre fluid, so I would put it in probably like prog rock or like emo or something like that.
You say prog rock, not in a bad way. I always think prog rock gets terrible bad press.
And it does. It does get terrible great bad press. Like Rush were under.
Yeah, I don't know. Getty's voice doesn't. Sorry,
it's,
I can't.
It's a tough hang, but like, yeah. I mean, yeah, Tom Sawyer is a bit of a jam. So
right, indeed. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, it's like fantastic. So, do you play any? Like you said, you played one of their songs, did you?
Well, we did these covers nights. I had this idea pre-pandemic to do a covers night, and all the money would go to the musicians that I brought in to play. Obviously didn't get to do it for 2020 or 2021. So we did two nights in Whelan's. We did a 2000s indie night where we just picked all the music that I loved in the 2000s. And then we picked emo, which was bands like Dashboard Confessional or Jimmy Eat World. Like we did a couple of Foo Fighters songs. I mean, it ran the gamut of pretty much anything emo, which is like can be Avril Lavigne, I'm With You is an emo song really. And then I did Change in the House of Flies. With the band, which was one of the greatest moments of my musical life. Like I've had some great musical moments, but it genuinely was like a pinch me thing where you're just like, it was in Whelan's and it was just like really sweaty. The place was packed and everybody was losing their minds because it was just one of those nights.
Did you ever send it to Deftones and say, look what I did, I hope it's okay guys. Chino, my friend.
Get my friend Chino, who I've met twice. Get their approval. No, I haven't sought the approval of anybody though, whose music I've
just finally done. America with you. I mean, you go a lot. Do you love it?
I do, yeah. I mean, it's changed obviously over the last few years, and it's edgy now. I went a couple of years ago and it was like, is different again coming out of the pandemic, maybe the rose-tinted nature of it. I've always looked at, especially LA, as being quite an aspirational place to make music. Yeah. I've made a lot of records there. I've written a lot of songs there, but it's changed a little. It's changed quite a lot, actually. So I don't know. I'm there in a couple of weeks, so we'll see.
Okay, well, look, I'll tell you what. We're going to play the final song from this album, White Pony, from Deftones. It's called RX Queen, is it?
Yes.
Why is it called?
Why not?
Brilliant.
It's very exactly. Proggy. It's the
why not? James Vincent McMurrow. Fantastic. Thanks, James.
No worries.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.